Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 21st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to allow us day by day to study your word. We're grateful for how much you teach us thereby. And we ask today that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness, that our hearts might be filled with truth, and that our characters would reflect that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the 48th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. Now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Helthlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazarenen, the border of Damascus northward, to the coast of Hamath. For these are his sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side to the west side, a portion of Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side, even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side, unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah, from the east side, unto the west side, shall be the offering which he shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth, and in length as one of the other parts, from the east side, unto the west side. And the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 in length, and of 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation, toward the north 25,000 in length, and toward the west 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length, and 10,000 in breadth. All the length shall be 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange, nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth, over against the 25,000, shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling, and for suburbs. And the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measures thereof, the north side 4,500, the south side 4,500, and on the east side 4,500, and the west side 4,500. And the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, and toward the south 250, and toward the east 250, and toward the west 250. And the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion. And the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. All the oblation shall be 25,000 by 25,000, and ye shall offer the holy oblation foursquare with the possession of the city. And the residue shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other side of the holy oblation, and of the possession of the city, over against the 25,000 of the oblation toward the east border, and westward over against the 25,000 to the west border, and over against the portions for the prince, and it shall be the holy oblation. And the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites, and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that, which is the prince's, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side of the west, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the border of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. And by the border of Simeon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar, a portion. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun, a portion. And by the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad, a portion. And by the border of Gag, at the south side southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which he shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. And these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi. And on the east side, 4,500, and 3 gates, 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, and 1 gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures and 3 gates, 1 gate of Simeon, 1 gate of Issachar, and 1 gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with 3 gates, 1 gate of Gad, 1 gate of Asher, 1 gate of Naphtali. It was around about 18,000 measures. And the Nineveh city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Oh, what a wonderful detail. God has named the city, named the portions of land as divided between the children, the tribes. And not only that, but the gates have been named. What detail? What specifics God has his hand upon? Acts of the Apostles, page 591 and paragraph 3 says this. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every special several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 21. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and there need no candle, near the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. It's Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5. He showed me a pure river of life, of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. On page 593 of the same book, Acts of the Apostles, paragraph 1, under chapter 58, entitled The Church Triumphant, it says this. More than 18 centuries have passed since the apostles rested from their labors, but the history of their toils and sacrifices for Christ's sake is still among the most precious treasures of the church. This history written under the direction of the Holy Spirit, was recorded in order that by it the followers of Christ in every age might be impelled to greater zeal and earnestness in the cause of the Savior. The commission that Christ gave to his disciples, they fulfilled. As these messengers of the cross went forth to proclaim the gospel, there was such a revelation of the glory of God as had never been witnessed before by mortal man. By the cooperation of the divine spirit, the apostles did the work that shook the world. To every nation was the gospel carried in a single generation. Glorious were the results that attended the ministry of the chosen apostles of Christ. At the beginning of their ministry, some of them were unlearned men, but their consecration to the cause of their master was unreserved, and under the instruction they gained a preparation for the great work committed to them. Grace and truth reigned in their hearts, inspiring their motives and controlling their actions. Their lives were hid with Christ in God, and self was lost sight of, submerged in the depths of infinite love. The disciples were men who knew how to speak and pray sincerely. Men who could take hold of the might of the strength of Israel. How closely they stood by the side of God and bound their personal honor to his throne. Jehovah was their God. His honor was their honor. His truth was their truth. Any attack made upon the gospel was as if cutting deep into their souls, and with every power of their being, they battled for the cause of Christ. They could hold forth the word of life because they had received the heavenly anointed. They expected much, and therefore they attempted much. Christ had revealed himself to them, and to him they looked for guidance. Their understanding of truth and their power to withstand opposition were proportionate to their conformity to God's will. Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, was the theme of every discourse. His name, the only name given under heaven whereby men can be saved, was by them exalted. As they proclaimed the completeness of Christ, the risen Savior, their words moved hearts, and men and women were won to the gospel. Multitudes who had reviled the Savior's name and despised his power now confessed themselves disciples of the crucified. Not in their own power did the apostles accomplish their mission, but in the power of the living God. Their work was not easy. The opening labors of the Christian church were attended by hardship and bitter grief. In their work, the disciples constantly encountered privation, calumny, and persecution. And they counted not their lives dear unto them and rejoiced that they were called to suffer for Christ. Irresolution, indecision, weakness of purpose found no place in their efforts. They were willing to spend and be spent. The consciousness of their responsibility resting on them purified and enriched their experience, and the grace of heaven was revealed in the conquest they achieved from Christ. With the mighty work of God and the omnipotence of God working through them, the gospel was made triumphant. Upon the foundation that Christ himself had laid, the apostles built the church of God. In the scriptures, the figure of the erection of a temple is frequently used to illustrate the building of the church. Zechariah refers to Christ as the branch that should build the temple of the Lord. He speaks of the Gentiles as helping in the work. They that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And Isaiah declares, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. That's Zechariah 6, verses 6 and 15, and Isaiah 60 and verse 10. Writing of the buildings of this temple, Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In the quarry of the Jewish and the Gentile world, the apostles labored, bringing out stones to lay upon the foundation. In his letter to the believers at Ephesus, Paul says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth up unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2 verses 19 through 22. As to the Corinthians, he wrote, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 13. The apostles built upon a sure foundation, even the rock Christ Jesus. To this foundation they brought the stones that they quarried from the world. Now without hindrance did the builders labor. Their work was made exceedingly difficult by the opposition of the enemies of Christ. They had to contend against the bigotry, prejudice, and hatred of those who were building upon a false foundation. Many who wrought as builders of the church could be likened to the builders of the wall in Nehemiah's day, of whom it is written, "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." Nehemiah 4 and verse 17. Kings and governors, priests and rulers sought to destroy the temple of God, but in the face of imprisonment, torture, and death, faithful men carried the work forward, and the structure grew beautiful and symmetrical. At times, the workmen were almost blinded by the mists of superstition settled around them. At times, they were almost overpowered by the violence of their opponents. But with unfaltering faith and unfailing courage, they pressed on with the work. One after another, the foremost of the builders fell by the hand of the enemy. Stephen was stoned, James was slain by the sword, Paul was beheaded, Peter was crucified, John was exiled. Yet the church grew. New workers took the place of those who fell, and stone after stone was added to the building. Thus slowly ascended the temple of the church of God. The enemy of righteousness left nothing undone in his effort to stop the work committed to the Lord's builders, but God left not himself without witness, Acts 14 and verse 17. Workers were raised up who ably defended the faith once delivered to the saints. History bears record to the fortitude and heroism of these men. Like the apostles, many of them fell at their posts, but the building of the temple went steadily forward. The workmen were slain, but the work advanced. The Waldenses, John Wycliffe, Huss and Jerome, Martin Luther and Zwingli, Cramer, Latimer and Knox, the Huguenots, John and Charles Wesley, and a host of others brought to the foundation material that will endure throughout eternity. And in the later years, those who have so nobly endeavored to promote the circulation of God's word, and those who by their service in heathen lands have prepared the way for the proclamation of the last great message, these also have helped to rear the structure. And now it is our turn. You and I have been called. Called by God to continue the building, to expand the church, regardless of the difficulties that we encounter, regardless of the opposition that stands against us, regardless of the difficult times that we experience day by day. God is calling upon us to do that with faith and strength that He has given us to do, so that His church might be expanded. It matters not whether we lose our lives or not. If we are faithful to God, then we die with a promise to be raised from the dead so that we might experience the life in the earth made new and to hear the trumpet coming down from heaven with Christ in His return. This life that we are experiencing is not the prize. It is the life to come. It is the reward that has already been decided upon in heaven. These houses that we purchase and build upon this earth, these are not the dwelling places. It is that place upon which your name already sits. A mansion prepared. And you and I need to be ready for the time to come, so that we might stand with God and for Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your promises. We thank you for your assurances. We thank you that we can rely upon you. We thank you that we need not fear anyone or any man or any power, but that if we stand with you and deliver that which you have given us to deliver and live in the way that you would have us live, and our characters reflect your character, then soon we shall be reunited before the holy throne of heaven and be returned to the earth made new. We thank you in advance for all that you will do for us today, and ask you to help us to live day by day and to make our decision-making based upon your opinions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 21st, 2019.